Well, 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 what a way to start, you know, what a way to start Friday, you know. When are you live? That's the whole question of when are you live. When are you live, that's exactly what happened. So technical things happen, and that's exactly what happened. And Dwight, thank you for early morning scoop, and also for covering that time when we couldn't, you know, cross to this side. Who is already calling this so early? I haven't started yet.
Very good morning. Maybe it's any message. Good morning. How are you? Hello? Hello?
What? Somebody's lost. All right. Good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. So good morning wherever you are. As I said, how did I start actually? So as I said, well, it happens, you know, it happens and, welcome. So it's a Friday morning and it's a payday, you know, it's a payday. And Dwight said, Helmut said, you know, make sure that your weekend and, no, I didn't get that right, actually. So it shouldn't meet, you know, your pay and your weekend shouldn't meet. I think that's what he said. So hopefully that shouldn't happen, because if that happens, you know, many things, other things can actually happen. Good morning. It's a Friday morning and it's a payday. Wow, time, it's about 14 minutes past the hour of 8. And of course, welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, your daily dose. This is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every day here, every day week, every weekday here, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome and thanks for joining us. As I always said, it's a pleasure for us. It's always a pleasure for us, you know, to be in your company. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM at this point in time. And thanks for tuning in on Unpacking the Day. So talking of the day, the 31st of October, Our first segment is looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So, looking at, you know, some significant event or major event that took place in the course of history on our land, on our mother continent. So, on the 31st of October, on the night of 31st of October in 1954, units of the National Liberation Front, FLN, carried out around 70 coordinated attacks against French colonial targets in Algeria. So making effective beginning, marking the effective beginning of the Algerian War of Independence. Now, though the FLN's first wave had limited immediate military impact, now, the ensuing conflict escalated dramatically and ultimately led to Algerian independence in 1962. So the event is sometimes referred to as the Night of All Saints in Algerian historiography. Now, it represents a key turning point in North Africa decolonization, showing how coordinated insurgency altered, you know, colonial relationship. And in East Africa, and on the 31st of October in 2014, Blaise Compaoré resigned as the president of Burkina Faso after 27 years in office, following a nationwide protest triggered by his attempt to extend his term via constitutional amendment. Now, his exit marked a major moment in the popular rising, in a popular uprising wave in the West Africa, illustrating how long-standing incumbencies could be challenged by civil society and youth movement, something that actually taking, you know, a new phenomena in Africa. Now, the event highlighted issues of governance, you know, constitutional amendment limits, youth activism, and democratic transition in Africa. Now, and on this day as well in 2006, Peter Willem Botha, you know, the former state president and prime minister of South Africa, a key figure in the apartheid government, died at his home. And today, it's a World City Day. You know, this is a United Nations Observance Day celebrated annually to promote the international community's interest in global urbanization, push forward cooperation amongst countries in addressing the challenges of urbanization, and also contribute to the sustainable urban development. So it is an international day of World Cities Day. Today is World Cities Day. And let's say, I wish somebody happy World Cities Day to Windhoek. You know, it's only city in Namibia, I think. Is it even a city? Yeah, metropolitan city. So happy World City Day to Windhoek. All right. So used to be one of the cleanest city in Africa. So, I don't know whether we are still the case. That's still the case. And today, our thought for the day, Thursday, October the 31st. So Friday. Why am I taking you back? What is wrong with me? Don't I want to be paid? Maybe I don't want to be paid. Am I even paid? You know, so, all right. So the thought for the day, all errors are amendable. All errors are amendable. So the proverb literally means every mistake is capable of being corrected. Every mistake is capable of being corrected. So when someone morally, socially, professionally, they are not beyond hope, you know? They are not a lost hope. They are not a lost cause. So they are not beyond hope. They can recognize their error, make amends, and reform. Now, it emphasizes forgiveness, second chances, growth, and responsibility. So, now, the Proverbs invite us to act responsibly when we go wrong and to believe in the possibility of repair, that we can be redeemed. And whether it is now in a relationship, it is business, and also could be in a community life. So, all errors are amendable. So have that belief that whatever you may done, whatever you have done, it is amendable. All right, it can be corrected. So whatever you do the course, during the course of the day today, make sure that you know you are responsible, and also that understand that whatever you have done, it can be amended. All right. So good morning and welcome. It's a Friday. I know sometimes Friday is very slow. Sometimes it's very slow Friday. Hopefully it's not going to be a very slow Friday this morning. So what do we expect on the show this morning? What do you expect on the show this morning? Now, the NHE seeks 76 billion. NHE is seeking 76 billion to eliminate 300,000 unit housing backlog in Namibia. 76 billion to eliminate the 300,000 unit housing backlog. So we're going to look at that, at their new strategy, strategic plans. Will they be able to achieve that? Now, in today's, in the Villager, something complementing to that story, another story really complementing to that one is a cheaper credit note, cheaper credit node enough to stimulate property sector? There's a story in today's edition of The Villager by Ngino Menmavali. So talking about cheaper credit node, if cheaper credit node enough to stimulate property sector. So that is complementary to the first story that we're going to look at. And if we have time, there's other stories that we can look at as well. And remember, your participation will also be part of this very, you know, very show. Good morning and welcome. So it's always a pleasure having you around. So, and me being in your company. So, all right, after this quick commercial break, we will be back and get into it. So stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, of course, there's no one else can actually top us on that. We are 24-hour, 7 days a week, talking station. So welcome. Welcome. And it's a Friday, and it's a payday. And I'm actually, you know, since this is a payday today, I'm you know, people who owe me money, remember that I'm on the radio. I have this privilege. So let me give you time. So if you, by 9 o'clock, you haven't actually paid in my money, I'm going to call you out on the radio. So make sure that you, pay my money. Otherwise, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call your name out, you know, pay. Good morning, man. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, Michael Chevelli, bringing you the stories that matter. And we have got a big one on the agenda. Housing. Housing is always the big one, really. Or more specifically, actually, the housing crisis that has affected thousands of Namibians for years. This housing crisis has affected, you know, thousands and thousands of Namibians for years. So we are talking about the National Housing Enterprises and its bold new plan to clear the housing backlog. You know, they want to clear the housing backlog, you know, an estimated 300,000 units across the country. So they want to clear that. But before we dive into the details, now, I want you to imagine, and this is serious. Imagine you're a parent, you know, working every day to provide for your family. Now, your biggest wish is to give them, you know, your family, to give your family a safe and comfortable place to call home. But the house you live in is old and is falling apart. And the roof leaks when it rains, you know, the walls are cracked. And you worry constantly about whether it is safe for your children to be inside. This is not just your story, my friend. This is not just your story. Right now, about 300,000 Namibians are in the same situation. In fact, it is estimated that Namibia's housing backlog would require 76 billion to address. It will require 76 billion to address that 300,000 shortfall or backlog. That is 76 billion to get Namibians into homes they can actually live in safely and affordably. 76 billion. Now, so, and what is being done? What is being done about it? Well, that's what we are going to look at now. That's what we're going to unpack, you know, today. Now, The NHE has just launched its five-year integrated strategic business plan, right, which outlined its mission to tackle this housing crisis. They just outlined their five-year integrated strategic business plan. Now, what is the goal? What is their goal, really? Is to provide a decent, affordable home to Namibians. How noble. To provide decent, affordable. Underline that word, affordable. Make it red. Underline with a red, you know. Affordable home to Namibian. With a particular focus on, now they will now be focusing on a slum upgrade. You know, those who are referred as they are in the slum of this world. The slum, I'm not talking Islam, the slum upgrade. They will focus now on a slum upgrade and informal settlement. All right. So that's what they have, you know, is to provide decent and affordable homes. In particular focus to the slum upgrade and informal settlement. That's the goal. Now, of course, wherever you're coming from, whatever towns you are living in, we have seen the informal shacks, those makeshift homes made from whatever material can be found. So it is not just a housing issue, you know, when you think about this, it's not just about a house issue. It's a health issue. It's a safety issue. And I think it's also a social justice issue. It's a social justice issue as well. Okay? So remember, this is in the Constitution, and maybe we're going to touch on that as well. So, all right? So, now, the plan also aims to boost funding, okay? The whole plan, it also aims to boost funding, and we're going to continue after this commercial.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. We started a little bit, some minutes a little bit late. Yeah, because of some technical problem. But we're on course. Don't worry. We're on course. And now we are talking about the plan, the strategic plan, the five-year integrated strategic business plan for NHE. So looking at their goal actually is to, you know, provide decent, affordable home to Namibian, and particularly, you know, focusing on the slum upgrade and informal settlement. Now, the plan also aims to boost, you know, to boost funding through various channels now, through, this include now public-private partnership, PPP, and also including borrowing, and also securing more service land, you know. So that's what also it focusing on, to boosting the funding through those channels. They are calling it a new dawn for housing in Namibia, all right? So this plan, they're calling it, it's a new dawn, you know, for housing in Namibia. All right. Now, but being serious enough, right? But let's be serious enough. Now, can NHE really clear, you know, this massive backlog, you know, with just 4.4 billion in projected revenue? The projected revenue is 4.4 billion, you know, for the next 5 years. Can they clear this massive 300,000 backlog, you know, with just 4.4 billion in projected revenue over the next 5 years? All right, join me. That's what we will unpack. All right, we're going to unpack that. So, but let's pause and think about the broader housing issue in Namibia, right? Now, why is housing such a critical issue in Namibia? Now, seriously, let's think. Why is it, you know, why is it a critical issue in Namibia? Why is it issue, you know, a critical issue in Namibia, housing? Well, let me relate to, you know, what has transpired during this launch of the strategic plan. There is more to this crisis than meet the eye, you know. And you have your own, you could have, you know, you could actually list 10, 15, you know, why is such a critical issue in Namibia. So, and let's consider some factors that have been, you know, and that has been, that have been around and will continue to haunt energy, you know. So one, and, you know, in the second story, this is very important. It's something that we might be going to look at now. As I said, it's complementing this now. One, it's higher construction cost. All right? Higher construction cost. The other factor is limited service land. And definitely, the biggest of all, you know, and this is a problem for everyone, insufficient funding. So this and many other things, you know, you can think of other things, other factors as well, but I want us to look at that quickly. So yeah, all that and others that you think have all played a role in stalling progress, in actually getting in the phase of progress when it comes to, you know, the crisis of housing in Namibia. So now, yes, we have also to acknowledge the energy has made some strides. It has made some strides. So acquiring land, you know, constructing houses, it has made some strides, you know, and even launching an informal settlement upgrade program. They have even launched that informal settlement upgrade program. But those steps, like anything else, those steps are small when you consider now the scale of the problem. A very small step. Now, when you think of 300,000 housing units, it's a really, really, really small step, yeah, when you consider the scale of actually of the problem. Now, let's dig deeper into the plan. Let's get into a little in some of the factors that we're looking at. Now, energy has outlined a clear strategy to tackle the backlog, but is it realistic? Okay? Is it realistic? 76 billion, that is a lot of moolah. That 76 billion, that is a lot of chelete, you know? Moolah. Eh? Ombongo. That's a lot of money. And the 4.4 billion in projected revenue over the next 5 years seem like a drop in the ocean compared to what is needed. So when you look at what is needed, and now 4.5 billion as a projected revenue for next 5 years, oh my gosh, Lord, my good Lord, that's a drop in the ocean, you know, as I said, compared to what is actually needed. Now, the government has committed to supporting this initiative. The government has committed to supporting this initiative, but let's be honest. Let's be absolutely honest. Namibia's economy isn't exactly swimming in cash right now. We are not swimming in some cash. We are not swimming in cash right now. All right? So, our national budget is stretched thin. Very stretched thin, and with priorities in, like, we will have free tertiary education. So those are priorities, you know, education, health, and infrastructure. All these actually are vying for attention. These are priorities that are actually vying for attention. So as much as we say yes, the government is committed to supporting this initiative, we also have to bear in mind that our budget, the national budget, is really stretched thin. Eh? You can only, you know, you can only shift within the room that you are. Eh? You can only move around within the limit you are. And some priorities are bigger than others. Okay? I'm not saying housing is not, but I'm just saying, all right, let's be realistic. And that's why I'm asking, is this realistic? All right? So, maybe it is. You tell me. But the question is, you know, the question is, how would you be able to achieve this in 5 years and you couldn't do it in 30 years? You know, remember, this is something in a Vision 2030. All right? And in a Harambe Prosperity Plan too. And if you look into other NDPs, housing is very critical. It's a right. Now, let's look at the point that we mentioned earlier on, and then I will let you also come through. You know, one point that stands out is NHE focus on public-private partnership. All right? So, and this is a great idea. So, this is actually a great idea. And I'm saying this is a great idea in theory. In theory, that's a really, really, really great idea because I'm thinking in this way. If I'm a private sector, now when it comes to housing, for example, so private sector often come with their own set of challenges. Now, what I mean, their set of challenges that a private sector in investor, what is driving them? They're driven by profit. Yeah, they are driven by profit, not necessarily social good. They are not driven by the social good, really. They are driven by profit. Now, will they be willing to invest in affordable housing? Remember, I said underline that. Would they be willing to invest in affordable housing if the return, yeah, if the return is not significant? Well, if I was an investor, definitely, and even you wouldn't. As I said, they are driven by profit. And that is actually something that we have to consider seriously. So NHE focus on private, public-private partnership, it's a great idea. So, but, you know, that can also become a problem because that's how houses become unaffordable. Do you understand? Because they chase profit, not social good. So, now, just think about it. Just think about it. So, when we have it in a strategic plan, well, good, great. That's why I said, in theory, that's great. Eh? So, and the other thing, there is also an issue. There is an issue of land. According to NHE, securing service land in higher demand area is a priority. That's what they said. So that's going to be a priority. Securing now land in higher demand area is a priority. But here's the thing. Now, service land in urban area is already scarce. It's really scarce. And expensive. And expensive for that matter. I don't know where others are coming from. You know, but in the areas where I am, you know, service land in an urban area, that first of all is very scarce. You hardly would find actually now where you can build massive houses. Okay. And it's expensive. And the land that is available often comes, you know, with its own set of issues, like unclear land ownership and some political resistance, you know. And just last year, the city of Windhoek was entangled in a debate over the allocation of land for low costing housing in certain areas in Windhoek. So even if now NHE manages to secure land, how quickly will they be able to start building? They're massive, you know, and some of these, maybe these are some of the cities that actually have stalled the progress. So, and let's talk about the slum upgrade that we mentioned earlier on, the slum upgrade. Yes, upgrading informal settlement is critical. Okay? It's very, very, very critical. But it's not a simple fix. That is not a simple fix. Now, there's a fine line between upgrading slums and gentrifying them, pushing out the very people who need help the most. So what we have seen is this. If the upgrade results in higher property, okay? So let's say for now, the upgrade has now resulted in higher property values. Now, will the people who have lived there for many years still be able to afford to stay? Will they be able to afford to stay? And that's a serious risk. Yeah? And that's what we're talking about in terms of affordability. So, now, furthermore, the NHG's financial strategy includes a 20 markup on the cost of sale to maintain a profit margin. Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. It's a very Friday that is, you know, I don't know. Okay, I keep connecting, you know, keep getting on, you know, on air and probably off sometimes. But we're back again, so we connected again. All right, no worries, okay? It happens, you know, I don't want to use the word, but, you know, it happens. Okay, so you know what they said? Happens, all right? So, all right. So we're talking about, I wasn't even here when I mentioned this. I was saying that the energy financial strategy includes a 20% markup on the cost of sale to maintain a profit margin. So, and that's good. That's okay. Because, you know, for sustaining the business, so you can be able to do that. But I still actually said that throw in the whole question again of affordability. The cost of these homes may still be out of reach for the very people who need this house most. And this actually brings us back now to the challenge of balancing financial stability. As we're talking about, like when we talk about, you know, private sector and the social responsibility. So it is a tough line to walk, you know? So now, but here's the question, okay? Why is there so much reliance on external funding and partnership? Can the government do more? So Namibia has a wealth of natural resources. So we know that. And there's no reason why the government can't allocate more resources to addressing the house crisis directly, rather than actually depending on private investors who may not prioritize affordability. That's what I said. The private investors may not actually prioritize affordability. So why don't the government then allocate more resources to addressing the housing crisis directly? Just asking. Now, let's look at some. Now, it's also important, really, to when we look at now, it's very important to frame this discussion within the context of Namibia's broader development plans. Now, the energy new strategy, aligned with Vision 2030. It's aligned with Vision 2030, the National Development Plan 6, NDP 6, and the Harambe Prosperity Plan 2. So the HPP 2. Now, all of which emphasize, this document emphasize sustainable development, poverty reduction, and improving living standard. So, but here's the concerning part for me. All right. Now, these policies have been in place for years. So when we're talking about these, you know, when we're talking about these things, this, you know, these policies have been in place for years, except the NDP 6. Now, and the housing backlog continues to grow. Throughout, these have been, these policies have been there, but the backlog continues to grow. The question is, are these plans enough? Maybe they are not. Are they enough to address the issues in a meaningful way? Are they really enough to address the issue in a meaningful way? Or do we need maybe a more radical shift in how we, yeah, in how we approach urban development? Maybe we need some kind of a really, really radical shift. So are these policies enough? Because the backlog continues to grow. Now, in terms of legal framework, Namibia's constitution, I don't know where, what is the article? You know, Namibia's constitution guarantee the right to shelter. Okay? It guaranteed the right to shelter, but the lack of affordable housing has continued to be a pressing issue. It is a right to have a shelter. So, and the whole question, the lack of affordable housing in Namibia has continued to be a pressing issue. Now, the Housing Development Fund and the Public-Private Partnership Act have made attempts to address this. But again, are these initiatives enough to handle the scale of the problem where we are now? You know, sometimes when you don't address things, what is that we were talking about? I think it's actually maintenance that we're talking about of a road. That yes, we may have actually good road now. But if you don't, you know, if you don't actually plan, if you don't have a plan how you maintain the road, so in 10 years, as they said, the protective layers are starting to, you know, to wear off. So we haven't addressed this for years, and it has become now a monumental problem. It has become now a monumental problem that require massive 76 billion to actually address it. And where are you going to get that money? So yeah, are they, you know, when you look at those, some of this, are they being implemented with urgency and focus, and the focus required? So some of these now, legal framework or policies, are they being implemented with the urgency that they require? The urgency and the focus that they require? They are not. And quickly, let's look at this from a perspective, from a community perspective, from you and I perspective. Okay. And then I can let you also come through. Now, let's take a step back and look at this from this perspective of an ordinary Namibian. And this is very serious as well. For many people, housing is more than just a roof over their heads. It's a matter of dignity. You may not feel that because you are in your comfort of your home. It's a matter of dignity. It's a matter of stability and opportunity as well. If you are living in an informal settlement, your children are at risk of disease. They are at risk of disease. Your house is a fire hazard. Your own house is a fire hazard. And you often don't have actually access to the basic service like water and sanitation. It's not just about having, you know, as I said, it's not just a roof over their head. It's a matter of dignity, matter of health. Eh? This is not just a number game, guys. It's about improving the quality of life for thousands and thousands of people. But let's also not ignore the voice of those who are concerned about the pace of change. Many Namibians have been waiting for years, for the government actually to fulfill its promises of affordable housing. Eh? We have been waiting for years. So how much longer can people wait? And what about the Namibians who are already, maybe they're already in, who are actually already in debt to financial institutions because they were sold expensive housing that they can no longer afford. So they couldn't wait. So they have to buy expensive house. And they are now in debt because, you know, and they no longer can afford. So these are the questions that need to be answered. These are really questions that need to be answered. So what is your take? What do we take away from all this? Now, the NHE, the NHE's new plan, from my point of view, is really ambitious. It's really, really ambitious, but it raises more questions than answers. So for me, when you look at that, it raises more questions than answers. Can they secure the 76 billion needed? 76 billion needed. Will they be able to make housing affordable? Not just available, because there has been area where their houses have been available, but they were not affordable. Eh? I was talking about Rundu, and it's not probably not only Rundu. There were a section of houses for built by NHE, and those houses were empties, completely empty. And people are even starting looting them. It's a couple of years ago. Probably now that has changed. So, and it's not only Rundu. It was not only in Rundu. There are other towns as well. And can the government do more? Can the government do more to support this initiative? Eh? Or are they just passing their responsibility off to the private sector? So at the end of the day, we all have a stake in this. You and I, we all have a stake in this. Housing is not just a government issue. Of course, it's a national issue. So it affects all of us. So the question is, what kind of Namibia do we want to live in? It's like, what kind of Africa? The Africa we want. What is the Namibia we want? Eh? So what is the Namibia we want? The one where access to basic human need like housing is a privilege? Or one where it is a right for all? What is the Namibia we want? We want to live in. So, yes, our telephone number is 0833-66091 or 0833-66091. So you are now welcome to come through and have your reaction, your comment, your contribution, your questions, whatever you are thinking on this day, Friday the 31st, the very last day of the month of October. By tomorrow, we are in the new month. So good morning and welcome. What is your reaction? 0833-66091. So we are coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and that's where we are at. All right. So as I said, Friday is always, as always, slow pace. It will be even a slower pace today. I can believe you that. As it is, you know, a payday. Some people get too excited and, you know, they forget that you still have to listen to Eagle FM, man. Still, you know, these issues will still be there. The backlog, housing backlog will be still there after tomorrow, after next week, when that money is finished. Yeah. So, and then you come and complain later. You know. So, all right. You can come through. 0833-66091. So that's a number you can dial.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuike Moshiwana, I Moyao, Otaingo Tisamwene, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Oronjika, Seisanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Igelefem Media House, Way 20 Pimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Tara on kwashipareki uimepo yomo programa de Moambo dengera Selma con horas de tatuimu. Datu ndatu heari jamano tano oniaj. Igel FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Welcome back. 1 minute past the hour of nine. And today is a Friday. And if you're looking for latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager. What do you need to do? You simply send a WhatsApp message saying subscribe with your name and email to 081-241-44. And voila, you will be subscribed. And The Villager, so you will be receiving your Villager new e-newspaper, your digital copy, your free digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and of course, Friday. So make sure that you subscribe. Yeah. And also, if you are a business person and you have an event or you have a function, you have a workshop, a meeting, a business meeting, a conference, well, please do contact Monica as well. And even if you want to have this real-time exposure via live streaming and broadcasting, so make sure that you contact us at 081-083-288-400. 083-288-400. So, good morning and welcome. Where are you? So, we're talking about the NHE seeking 76 billion Namibian dollar to eliminate the 300,000 unit housing backlog in Namibia. So, what do you think? 0833-366-091. That's the number you can, can call us. And seriously, I was talking about, housing is a right. And also that there are so many, as we're talking about 300,000, backlog. So that means there are so many. Housing is more than just actually, and I said this earlier on, that it's more than just a roof on your head. It's really about, dignity, and stability. When you have a home, your life can't be stable when you think anytime I might not be able to pay rent and throw it out of here. So we talk about stability and also that open up opportunity. When you have your own home, so definitely that will be also an opportunity where you can now, because you feel stable, you feel I'm home, and now it open up opportunity maybe to do some other things. So, and I was giving an example of how many people, informal settlement is growing, not in many town across the country. So And people that are living in those, you know, when you think about their children, they are actually at risk of disease. And I also mentioned that your own house, just your house, it's a fire hazard. So that's, we have issues in Swakopmund and Wavish Bay where, you know, fire constantly happen because houses, you know, are just, you know, yambwandwa mumwe, kupopisa moshindonga, kupopia moshindonga, yambwandwa mumwe, And, of course, when we talk in terms of sanitation, in terms of services, those are non-existent. Sometimes when you're in your own, this is what happened. You know, when you have a meal on your table at night, when you have a meal on it, you tend to think that everybody has got a meal. You know, when you eat dinner every day, you know, you think that everybody actually have dinner, is eating dinner. So when you have a shelter over your head, you think that everybody does, you know? So, yeah. And come on, we need to improve the quality of life, of our people, as we have promised to do,
A very good morning to you. It's a Friday morning.
Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Good morning, man. How are you?
I think you are having the
I'm having? I didn't get that.
You are having the program is on the wrong day. Today is Friday, 31st, so
yeah. I realize that 31st it is exactly it shouldn't have happened, you know?
Yes, because everyone is busy sorting out
Yeah, when we are full we don't think of anything. We want to sleep.
Yeah, which is a normal thing.
It's a normal progression, my friend.
I listened to your introduction about the energy.
Yeah.
And I quickly went to visit my friend AI. And I just asked him to summarize the mandate for energy.
Energy, yeah.
And one of the mandates is to provide housing loans and mortgage to individuals who wish to buy or build houses, especially those who might not qualify for commercial bank financing.
That's a very good point. Does energy does that? Do they do that anymore?
I don't know. That is what AI gave me about the mandate.
Yeah.
To provide housing loan and mortgage to individuals.
They used to do that. I'm not too sure if they still do that.
And what caught my attention is to those who might not qualify to get loans or mortgage from the commercial banks. That is their mandate. And if that is their mandate, as you ask, is that what they are currently doing?
Yeah.
Is that what they are currently doing? And now you, I don't know if you remember there was a time I called in the program.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the housing situation. And I made the reference to, I think the banks, they are the main contributor.
Yeah.
To these higher house prices. This, their main contributor. I gave an example of, they're putting on the tires in the house. Individual, those guys, those professional guys, they will ask you, I think the square meter is around 60 or 70. You remember that, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
They will ask you around $60 or $70 per square meters. But when you look at the quantity of deal, the one the banks, the commercial banks approve, if you look at You see something like 250 per square meter. And that 250 does not include the material. It's the work. And now, remember, if the contractor is building for me and I went to the bank to apply for a loan, and then the bank approves things like 250 per square meter.
Yeah.
It means the amount of loan that I'm going to get from the bank, it will be very high.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be very high. Maybe it will be 800 or 900 or 1.7, something, which for a house, which could have cost half, or could have cost half of that price.
Yeah.
But the commercial banks, what we have seen is that the pricing of housing is not necessarily reflecting the cost of that housing.
Mm.
They are more interested in, are you able to pay a higher, to service a higher bond?
Yeah.
So therefore, this contractor can go to them and then give them when we finish the housing, the value of the house is 1.8. And then they look at, okay, this person can afford, and they will just finance the properties.
Mm.
So now, when it comes to energy, this is the mandate that they were given.
Yeah.
And we agree that this mandate, they have abandoned this mandate.
I think they, someone has to come and really confirm that, rather than, you know, rightly say they have abandoned it, but it's something that at the beginning that was the mandate, actually part one of the mandate as well. So I remember because I benefited from that, you know, my first house in Windhoek, you know.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, was actually funded by NHG as well. Yeah. So but I don't think it does that anymore. Really, I'm not too sure whether that still actually continue to do that.
Okay, now maybe the right question that I need to ask is is there a difference between getting a house financed by energy
in
the commercial bank as you're speaking now?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's always on a low on a very low interest when it comes to energy. By then, when you compare with the commercial.
Yeah, I'm talking about now.
Yeah, now I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about now. Because even the standard of the energy houses in the past, it used to be one brick. Yeah, it used to be one brick. And that's one of the reasons why they say that energy houses are a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
Because the cost of building those energy houses was different from the cost of conventional housing.
Yeah. Mm.
And now, so you are saying they are looking for 70.
The 76 billion.
76 billion.
Yeah. To actually meet the need, which is actually 300,000, you know, housing unit. You know?
That's big money.
Yeah, that's a big money. And 4.4 billion is in projected revenue now. They projected now 4.4 billion in revenue over the next 5 years. And that's absolutely nothing. That's
yeah. Where would they get that? So are they thinking of getting that money from the government, or where would they get that?
Because from private, you know, the resource from actually borrowing, and the other one they mentioned is private partnership, and what is the other, you know, I just mentioned some of the fuse, you know, yeah. It is, you know what, sometimes let me give an example. It's like, say for example, we are making a promise of that we will be, in 5 years, we will be employing 500,000 people.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I ask, do we make these promises knowing exactly where we are in terms of how many people do we employ right now per year? You know, and from that rate, with that rate, how are you going to speed up that rate? You know, sometimes we make this, you know, promises and target that are too optimistic, that are too massive, you know. Why don't we make realistic things and see where we are and see, okay, this is how far, this is how we can go realistically.
Okay. No, it's just a thought that come to my mind now.
Yeah.
20 years ago, if you go to Ovamboland, or 20 or 30 years ago, if you go to Ovamboland and you see a house with a zinc room, zinc, That was, we refer to that as a well-off family. It was well-off house. I remember there is a one man in our village who was working in Oranyemun.
Yeah.
And his first, it was a zinc, very nice zinc house.
Yeah.
And that guy now is one of the very rich men. It's only that he died. But when you see where he started.
Mm.
Now, why am I bringing that issue of zinc house? Look at what we have, the sharks here in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Can you see the sharks?
Yeah.
Have we ever thought in our mind that one of the solutions to the problem we have of sharks and all those things, why can't the government embark on the project of constructing proper sharks?
Mm.
Remember, there are people who will never afford a conventional house because of their situation.
Yeah. And that's a low cost.
They have never gone to school. They have never gone to school.
Mm.
The kind of job they have, it will not never allow them to have a conventional house. Mm. Why don't government take it up themselves and say, okay, with these people, we are going to construct a conventional, a proper shack.
Yeah.
Where you have two bedrooms, a shower, and a toilet.
Yeah,
because remember, sometimes we need to face reality. In this world we are living, there are people, because of the situation they find themselves, the kind of job they have, they will never, that thing that you are forcing them to put them in the conventional brick wall house, it will never happen. But if you construct a proper, you demarcate, you have a small elf, you put the proper shacks where it has all the amenities that is needed, then you have made life for that person. Why can't our government think of that?
And it can be done. You can actually build different houses with different styles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? No, the question is why? Because remember, those people, you have a security guard, you have people that are getting lower wage or salary. Obvious, if you build them something like that, their kids will be in a proper house.
That's true.
Why can't the government? Why don't we have they have that built together thing, which is still it's beyond reach of many people.
Of many people, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So why can't we think of helping these individuals
with zinc iron material? With zinc iron material. Yeah.
No. Because that thing, it costs. That kind of zinc, it will cost less than 10,000.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Just imagine you have 5 million and then you construct all those zincs.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And when you hear things like, we want to remove all the zinc in Windhoek by 20, whatever, then you ask yourself, okay, remove all the zinc. The only way to remove all those zincs, first of all, is to give a decent job to those people.
Yeah.
And if you are not in a position to give a decent job to all of those people, then you must think of something else.
Yeah.
It's
what I have been talking about affordability. So, I mean, as you say, you can build a house. Some houses become empty, you know. And even people, now, how many people are leaving town to go to the village so that they can rent the houses? You understand?
Yes.
Yeah?
No, they
cannot afford the house, the houses they are in anymore. Huh?
No, I think try to get the NHE and ask them that question. Is it not possible for them to think of building a proper zinc house?
Something to think about.
Have you seen that one the Omosherero is building for himself? Okay, that is even luxury. We are not talking about that. I just talking something in that form.
Yeah, in that being innovative. Everyone can be innovative in the way they. But we have the whole question is material that we use. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite cheap. It's affordable, and it's what people are using at the moment. Yeah.
And people don't have. You know that when people don't, they are not complaining or staying in the zinc house. They are not complaining. All what they need is a proper space. With all the amenities.
Yeah.
Facilities. Yeah. That is all what people want.
Mm.
And you can't take that away from them because that is the situation they find themselves. So we need to think, to start thinking in that line. That thing of removing what shucks.
Yeah.
And we start thinking of how to make them decent, look proper with all the amenities. I think that is where we need to think.
Yeah, no,
otherwise,
what you just reminded me, I have been in a B&B, not it's a converse, it's a what a camp. It's more a camp where mm-hmm. people actually do workshop. And mm-hmm. it was just made of zinc, you know, and it looked beautiful. Seriously, you know, now you just actually, it was just made of that. That was in South Africa anyway. So, but now it's something that, you know, really maybe something we need to look at to rethink, the way we need to build houses now. Yeah.
Why I'm saying we should think of that. Remember what I told you.
Yeah.
We have people, because of their situation, they will never afford a conventional house in their life.
Exactly.
And there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
So, but you can give them a decent place where they stay.
Yeah.
Give them a proper...
You give them a home.
Yeah.
And that will be a home for them. Yeah, definitely.
Just imagine a parent with three kids that are squatting in a small room, zinc room there.
Yeah.
And just imagine if the government comes and says, okay, since you have three kids, we'll construct three bedroom proper zinc for you and with amenities. And these people are going to have a decent life.
Yeah, no, definitely.
No. Mm. Yes, Matt, that is what I wanted to
thanks.
Say.
Thanks for coming through, man. Yeah.
No, the reason why I came is because I'm not getting paid on Friday.
I can see that, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
But thanks for coming through, man.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right. I can see that those are paid on Friday. They have run away. Yeah.
Very good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Shoveri.
You are also not paid on Friday. That's why you're here. All right. Welcome.
Oh. So people who are paid, they are able to afford some credit more.
No, people who are paid on Friday, they don't come here. They're gone.
How do you
know? Yeah.
So, like, you are making me laugh.
Yeah, good morning, man. How are you?
I thought it could be. No, fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right.
Mm. Yeah. The issue of dwelling.
Yeah, housing, yeah.
Yeah, housing. It's a very critical thing because it's a basic conditions of our people.
Mm.
So being basic, and it's important that there's no need for you to compromise on them.
Yeah.
On that. So there is a serious need in terms of, for example, when you look at the informal settlement, be it in Windhoek or Varisby or wherever.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming the authority much on that.
Yeah.
And I'm also not blaming the dwellers there, the residents, the inhabitants who have occupied those areas to become informal settlement.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of our history, because we know very well that all those people who are settled in informal settlements, they were all denied the opportunity to own just even a piece of land, even if it's not your own for now, maybe at that moment. So you were able to have a place.
Yeah.
I know
that
many
you call
people
home.
You call home.
Mm.
Whether it's Okambashu, whether it's Cold War, at least people were living there. People are living there. And they were able to at least do some meaningful activities.
You're the one who talk about, you speak always about, you know, being organized yourself, be innovative. What about, if you are listening to the previous caller now, you know, what about his, he mentioned something that is very interesting, actually caught my attention, where he said, look, you may have a security person, you know, a security guard person who know Meta. You will, even if you build them a conventional house, they will never be able to afford that. Why not build them a think house? Just, it has all the amenities where they have, you know, the toilet, everything. So that will be a home for them, you know? So
we should do that for them, for those ones.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, yes, that is a necessity.
Yeah.
In Shesha. But the question is, who is going to do that rather than ourselves?
Yeah, no. It's just that now, look, if say, for example, how much you have to get a 500,000 or let's say for 300,000 to be able to build a one bedroom house, this one would actually only cost you maybe about 20,000. And then this security man would be able, if he get a loan of 20,000, he'll be able to pay that. You understand?
In fact, the issue is that, of course, those organizations can be there.
Yeah.
You know already that there are some existing structures, for example, through institutions like SAC Dwellers and many others. Mm-hmm. And even if somebody can also go beyond that,
yeah,
where you can say, fine, I'm organizing these young ones, and these ones, when the house are built, constructed or built, they need to be solar powered,
yeah,
in every region.
Mm.
And these things, it's for us now as entrepreneurs or who are aspiring to become entrepreneurs to make money or whatever the case might be. So because whether it's in Varis Bay,
yeah,
we took that land by ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah.
All of them, whether in Windhoek, I came in Windhoek in 1990.
Mm.
So, but we were just living at Onjabo with our parents and all these sandubaras and everywhere. The same applied in Ngwediva.
Yeah.
But people, they say, so we don't have any dwelling. And here we were denied this opportunity to occupy this land in the urban city, for example.
Mm.
So then they got in there. So, all these issues, of course, the government can come in with subsidy, like district dwellers and many other organizations who may aspire to come up and start building. Just to construct, there was a model that was put in place,
yeah,
when Kanjo Kampanyoka used to be alone here running around with economic issues and things like that.
Yeah.
To just to corrugated irons. But it's a decent kind of a home.
Exactly.
So informal settlement like Korean Hub, I was living in Babylon. And the Korean Hub, where we could just make pit toilets.
Mm.
And I don't know how many people are still using the thing. So we call in the government to give us the subsidy. It's there.
Yeah.
The subsidy is there. If you say national housing enterprise, maybe as a vehicle,
yeah,
with between, you know, a liaison between the government and the community and all these other things. If it does not go through, and those people, they work also with the sub-dweller. Is there any other entity apart from this big construction companies like, what's it, the one that is in Havana there? I mean, Korean Hub there, this building.
So you have building together, you have sub-dweller federation. Yeah, and energy, those are the main three ones. But local
energy,
one, yeah.
Even those sub-dwellers, whatever you mentioned,
yeah,
it's good they work in collaboration with the NHE.
Yeah.
And many of the Standard Bank is also there. Many other financial institutions are also there to finance your solar panel project. And then now people are now, see, graduate. You see, you just look at the graduations now that is coming. Teachers, nursing, and all these things. Mm. In your locality.
Yeah.
So are they not going to occupy those houses at Omungweruma or Ngwedila somewhere there?
Yeah.
Who's going to empower those houses with solar panels? Who's going to put some iron? Because people are no longer using wood because you would... you deforestation is also a problem now.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They pin you.
Yeah.
So I think it's just good that we have actually occupied those things on our own. And there are also those some kind of entry points where we can say, yes, this house, this those are opportunities left for us to capitalize on.
Yep.
Because
yep.
If the government has to do all those things, ne? All those things, then the people will not be employed.
Yeah.
More people will not be employed. So, Mike, thank you very much. Let me end up here.
Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Bona. Thanks for coming through. All right. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself? You are not paid on Friday. That's why you are here.
No. Let other colleagues also eat. today, if you go stand in the queue, I'm telling you, the pizza companies are shops, they are making money.
Exactly.
I'm telling you. But never mind. No, we are not saying they are not doing a good job, but at least let them also enjoy their fruits of labor. Their labor.
Exactly.
Yeah. On housing.
Yeah.
It's a planned thing.
It's a planning thing.
It's a planned thing that it's a crisis created.
Yeah.
And then people think, it's a crisis, but it's a man-made, it's created.
Yeah.
Well, how do we solve housing problem? Me, I'm of the opinion. I lived, I think, in the times before independence and after independence.
Mm.
Yes. Or during, I don't know whether it's during independence or after independence. I think it's during independence because we are still independent. It's also. It's during because it's not after.
Yeah.
We are still independent.
We're still independent, yeah.
Yes, also it's during.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You live pre-independent and independent, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Why am I saying it's a man-made? People want to make money out of it.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm of the opinion, the cities or where you work, where most of the jobs are created, or which we normally call CBD, whatever you call them, the place where you go to work.
Yeah.
It's not your home. You get what?
Yeah.
I'm from the north, I'm from Katima, Zambezi region. I'm coming to Windhoek to work only when my labor, is utilized in the energy that I had when I was supposed to work after 60.
Yeah.
I should be relieved. Is also.
Mm.
When I'm relieved, where should I go back? I should go back to where I came from.
Yeah.
But the system is created that I should continue.
But it's not a must that you should go back where you come from. No. Settle.
Listen to this. Listen to this.
Yeah.
I understand that's what most of the people will think or will decide or opt for.
Yeah.
It's created such that I should stay in a place where I was working.
Mm.
But if you look at the cycle of life, life won't allow you to do that.
Mm.
Why? Because the generations that will come also should utilize the same place you utilize.
Yeah.
Assuming that if I would have kept the job where I worked first, and even if I retire, I should be working there if there was no retirement age.
Yeah.
What would you think? Would you think people could get jobs, opportunities?
No, they won't, yeah.
Mm. You get a moment? That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So, generation-wise, the new generation will come and occupy that place of working place. Equally, when you are working, you have to have a residential place where you stay, where you wake up every morning to go to the work. Eh?
Yeah.
When you finish, you should go back. Is it so? Now, that same place, it was supposed to be owned by the company that employs you.
Mm-hmm.
And all what you do is to pay a certain amount for maintenance, which is rent.
Yeah.
To maintain that place. That the next generation that will come will still find that place still conducive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have got a place called home. That's where you should build your retirement home.
So if I want to live in Windhoek and I'm from Ngwediva,
When you age out, what are you doing in Windhoek?
No, then I'll leave that. I understand what you're saying. Yes. Then I would. What would happen is that you have this institution with massive property that would be absolutely, absolutely billionaire, trillionaires. You understand?
Yes. Yeah?
So unless you're saying the government should actually have these properties, the government itself should have actually this property, and institutions should actually then rent, and we rent from the government.
No problem.
Yeah.
As long as it's the thing that you don't stay permanently.
Yeah. So.
So government must. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going. Government, if government owns those properties.
Yeah.
And these companies are renting from there, we know that house A, after the owner who is staying there in 55 years.
Yeah.
Eh, in 5 years' time, it will be empty. The new person who is employed today is coming from the same place where I'm coming from, or another place, whether it's the south or whatever, or the north. When they come, when they get the job, they are guaranteed accommodation.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like nursing quarters, like, you know. You
yeah, that's
those...
why those things were there before.
Yeah.
Like... They were not there for the purpose of, because they want to occupy them. The moment you finish your retired nurse, you can't stay in that nursing home.
My convenient now. I have children. I want a better life.
No, remember the even in the olden days, houses were made into categories.
Yeah.
Bachelors. You find that the bachelors where they had the small one house.
Yeah.
Yes, a one room. And then there was this place called, this is for bachelors, this is for those who are married. See, if you have got four kids, whatever. Okay. They said you're married, they will make you two bedrooms in the house.
Yeah.
One for the boys, one for the girls, and one for the master, which you call the main bedroom.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and then they go according to the status of the job, whatever. Okay. Managers, this type of managers stay in this area, this group stays in this area.
Mm.
That was there.
So that sounds like a socialist kind of.
Yes, that's why socialism is the only way, because whether we like it or not, we end up going and adopt that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you see, let's look at the point of the graveyard. We are saying, let's bury all of us in this gravesite. Mm. But we are growing, we are giving birth. One day that gravesite will be full. Is that so?
Yeah.
So what will be next? Extend. With time, we won't have land because we have well more graves.
Yeah, so we must start.
So what we should do? We should come up with a plan.
Start actually burning. What is that? How do you
call
when you
are... that thing of burning whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, you see. Otherwise, if you continue burying like that, one day, whether you like it or not, nature will tell you exactly this is where your limits are.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is the thing I'm saying. It's a plan. Now, what is the purpose of a retirement fund? Pension is for you to build a retirement home.
Mm.
Do you want to retire in the city where everything you are paying rates and taxes? No. You have to go and retire in the village where there is no rates and taxes. That home which you build in the village, it's yours forever.
Yeah, yeah.
No stress. The same house you and me, we can own in town, whether NSE built it or whoever.
Mm.
If we don't stay there and we don't even live there, but as long as it's in that proclaimed area, it will continue accumulating debt.
The other thing is that, you know, depending on when you are acquiring that home, you may not even own that home when you retire.
Yes.
So because the bank, you may not be able to finish paying that home, you know?
Because the bank is making money.
Yeah.
Mm. Out of these people. Now, out of all of us. Now, if the government was supposed to build houses and then rent it to these companies, institutions, when they rent, then government provide social responsibility in terms of education with that money which they can get from there, whatever.
Mm.
They can come up with a plan. It's not me. But all what I'm saying is, if we stay, let's say, for those places where we are going to work, we should not own those properties.
Yeah.
It should be almost, because it's generational. Is it? There was a generation that came, that went after us. Now, assuming that those people came first, if they would have occupied all these places, do you think we would have got the places before?
And the people that are born in Windhoek?
Born in Windhoek, you are not from Windhoek.
No, there are those who
But remember, there is a place, it's not the whole Windhoek that is proclaimed.
Yeah.
It's a portion, it's a certain portion where houses are built. They are farms. Those farms could be saying, okay, fine, we allocate these places to this group of people. This is the family land. So that family will be using that land. It's generational. Yeah. The others will continue dying, others will come. They'll keep that place as their land given by the state. Is it? Then where we work, it should not be. Now, you can build houses in two categories.
Yeah, what you are advocating, my friend, is socialism.
Whether we like it or not, that's where it is. That's why I've got the commercial bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's socialism.
Yeah.
It's for common. You see, common, everybody must go there. What are you doing with the common thing? If we are saying socialism, it's just a word. What is socialism? Everything belongs to the people, isn't it so?
Yeah.
Okay, when we say democracy, power belongs to who?
To the people.
So socialism, power belongs to who?
It belongs to the government.
No, it's for the people. Because
the power belongs to the people, to the government, for the people. In democracy, the power belongs to the people, you know?
No, in democracy, the power belongs to the government.
Yeah.
That's why you see the people always want to change constitutions when they see their power term of office is over.
Yeah.
And they tell other friends of theirs, when they are down power, they realize that their power is under threat.
Yeah.
They cannot win anymore. They deploy whatever they call that system. That's not democracy. That is dictatorship. But never mind. All at that point, we are discussing the housing issue.
Yeah.
How do we solve this problem? And for me, that's the only way we can solve it. Because it's generational. Whether we like it or not, there will be newborns. Today we have got kids who are 0 year age, 1 year age, or 1 day, 2 days. Those people are going to work in the same place where we have created that environment as a working environment. They will come there. We won't be there. So if we won't be there, why should we keep that place? Because then what we are doing is we are creating poverty. And remember, poverty is the mother of all crime.
Definitely.
So the moment we create poverty, now assuming that security guards have got places where they stay,
also a way to control the populace.
Yes. Then you realize that old people won't be in the cities.
Yeah.
Police also can manage. They know this location belongs to this. Even the people stays there, they know themselves.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the only way we can solve the problem. Because this crisis of trying to tell us that, no, in the coming 5 years, we are going to build the 600 houses. That, Mike, how many promises have we gotten since time immemorial?
Exactly.
Even, and if you go back to their manifesto, to their, what?
A mandate. Not only the mandate,
their financial plan.
Yeah.
Their strategic plan. You'll find 500,000 houses. They only built 5.
Yeah.
I'll give you a very simple example. Go to Kampans. Kampans, like last time, if you look at it, we don't want people to account.
Yeah.
Telecom came in the newspaper. They said they are going to invest $2 billion in the coming 5 years. 2027, that was the last year.
Mm.
Go back to the same people came and tell you that. How much have they invested to date?
Yeah.
Not even $500,000.
You see?
You see?
Yeah.
You see? No. Yeah. Not even $500,000,000. Not $1 million. Not even $500,000,000. They are almost there. We are almost there at that point. Not even $500,000,000. You see? So, we promise people, but we don't deliver.
Yeah, and this is one thing.
That's why my
concern is that we make two big promises, you know, that are unrealistic, you know. And why don't we make realistic? Because when we are realistic and transparent enough, you know, you create confidence in the public.
It's honesty. We lack ethics.
Yeah, that's true.
We lack ethics. Because honesty is the first step, you get it?
Yeah.
Into wisdom. A wise man needs to be honest.
Yeah.
Yes. If you want to be called a wise person, you must be honest. Now, the difference is what we don't understand also is there is a big deep sea between saying and doing.
Yeah, no,
we always
definitely.
Drown
yeah.
between mm. the two.
Yeah.
Because that deep sea, we don't know it. But that's why you find a lot of people don't fulfill the promise, because they are always drowning into that sea. Yes. And I think saying is doing.
Yeah.
Saying is not doing.
Exactly. Saying is not doing. Yes. You know, it's yes. easy to say what you can say, but, you know, doing it.
Doing is an act.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Now, but business people, because they are theoretical, they are theories, because they like theories.
Yeah.
And they think it's like the Bible. We are told we are going to heaven, but you don't know which route.
All right,
but
man.
Then they tell you, the only way you go to heaven maybe is when you die. We are also so not sure. But then when death comes close to you, you run, you go to the hospital. But you are saying, I want to go see God.
All right.
Thanks.
Have a great afternoon, man.
All the best.
So, 081-0808-333-66091. So we're talking about housing crisis and the amount of money that NHC need actually to fulfill the country's need, the country's housing's need, 76 billion, you know. Yeah, it's what is manga? What is it? It's a huge task, and unrealistic, you know. Yeah, we create, as you said, we created that problem, that we might not be able to, you know, to manage it anymore. We shouldn't let, you know, the problem grow to a point where we may not be able to manage it. But it is manageable. It is manageable. Some of the things that people have said here. So, it is manageable. You just ask why. Eh? Why aren't we looking at some of this innovation and options that are there, you know? Especially the whole emphasis here is affordability. And when you look at much of the things that are in the strategic plan of the energy, still, when you look at that, you think, well, would that still be affordable to the people that you're trying to, you know, to address the issue? The people that you're trying to meet, you know, that you're trying to help, would that be affordable? Yeah. And there are alternatives that may one look at that suits more in our environment and in our financial and many of the people's financial situations, you know, or economic, you know, situation. All right. Yes, this is an issue that will never exhaust, you know, this housing issue will never be exhausted in Namibia, because it's a problem that require every one of us to really address. Yeah. A very good morning to you.
Yes, that's Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, man. You're also not paid on Friday. Because you couldn't be here if you were paid today.
No, we get paid every day. We're answering to ourselves.
You know,
it doesn't matter. The end of the month is the same.
You see, you guys, you know, okamari wako business, wako pay you. Shall we come on to your pay naro?
Pay naro, my friend. Even the middle of the week, you have to pay expenses.
You see? Yeah,
housing problem in Namibia.
Yeah, so that's there was something someone mentioned, actually. I mean, the first caller, actually, who and I thought about, which is actually a very thing. As I said, look, we could actually develop, let's say, for example, someone can able to afford, if you give a loan of 20,000 and being able to build them a house. It doesn't have whether it's a corrugated iron house, but it have all the facilities. It's a toilet, it's have showers, you know, it's a 3-bedroom for your family. So why shouldn't look at that?
Michael, you know what? The people who are sitting on the that road, they think they are doing a great job by limiting the supply of housing, because the demand is high.
Yeah.
And the thing is that They don't know that the more they delay the progress, the more they bring complication.
Yeah, the more it becomes a really big...
It's a big problem.
It will be a big problem.
It's a big problem already.
It needs to be handled.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you can change government, but it will not be easy to be handled.
Yeah.
Because we allow it so much people not to have housing. I'm telling Michael, I'm living in Waliaha, but I'm telling you, Michael, you come there.
Yeah.
Why do you think a person able to buy a laptop but sleeping in the what? In Kambashu?
Yeah.
Do you think is this person not having enough mind to, because their laptop is costing 1.5 million, but is buying it and is having a canvas with a value not even more than 40,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
People are having money,
but
the housing are nowhere to be found.
They are not made affordable at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're able to afford it anyway, but they are not available. I'm telling you. We have people who are on the list for more than 25 years. And some are even going for retirement now. without getting any house.
Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't make sense. The problem is that we are more worse than a colonial era, apartheid. Because we have people who can afford, and we have a lot of people who cannot afford.
Yeah.
Even a policeman now we are talking about a policeman, a constable who just gets recruited today, is not able to afford the house.
No, not even it. You talk a teacher, some teacher, you know?
Some women teachers.
You're talking about
but
teachers.
But I'm telling you, let us go.
Yeah.
I will take you to colonial era. The cleaners, the garden guys, they are able to afford the house in like, I would give you Damalo Kasi, Vambolo Kasi, Eroro Kasi. Those housings, a housekeeper is able to buy a house.
Yeah.
But why so difficult today? We are independent for 35 years. The problem, people have become too greedy. Thing is, we support the basic needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you guys even talking about the solar energy.
Do you think
people care about too much electricity or energy will they don't have anything to eat?
Yeah.
That will become a last thing to think about the problem.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, go to the law. I saw it, even people are saying, no, we better give it this solar energy to people who are living in what? In the communal area, like in the village. Then I was like, yes, it's a good thing. But it doesn't make sense if I'm going to fetch water 5 kilometers. But I'm having a solar panel I can light in. it will be my last problem because actually I must have water which is close by.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, the thing is that when it comes to housing, energy, it's not supposed to operate the way it's operating now.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be competing with a commercial bank. But energy, I don't know really what their mandate, what it was supposed to be. It's not the way they are doing things now.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, why even a clinic is not able to qualify with NAC housing? If it was for mandate for low income people. I'm telling you, go there now.
No, exactly. There isn't any difference between energy and with the commercial bank.
Exactly.
You know? Definitely, there's no difference.
And I'm telling you, the funding is the problem when it comes to energy. I'm telling you, they are building a smaller house, one bedroom and what toilet and what, and it's already from 400,000 up. But you can see that is just a simple thing, where a person can put it up even for 50,000.
Because
our material for building material is not expensive the way it is.
No, they're not.
Guys, cheap.
Yeah.
Very cheap. I'm telling you, take it there, 50,000, then you go and build the house, maybe somewhere in the village, where there's no local authority.
Yeah.
It will be a big building.
Yeah, exactly.
And you come and went to create a simple house, it's already 800,000, my friend.
I mean, with the amount of the money that actually you pay for the house, you know, in 5 years, you actually can build. If you actually save the money that you're paying the house that you pay for 24 years, you know, that amount in 5 years, you will able to be to build your own house that you can own. Yeah, seriously.
Not even a double story house. A mansion. Where you can have everything, even a swimming pool there, upstairs. Yeah. Yeah, you see, the thing is that, Michael, what we need as a Namibian, we don't need this all nonsense of NHN, what, needing 75 billion, where they are going to get that money. Give it people a title deed. Once you give me a title deed, then you say, if you don't build the 5 years, I'm going to take this elephant to somebody else. My friend, you see the beautiful houses are coming out. Yeah. Because people are scared now to build because they don't know any time municipalities can move you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the effect. People are having money. That's why I'm telling you, go there, you see, these people are driving. You see the car with you, more than 1.5, 2.something million.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the person is staying in Kabashu.
Yeah.
Do you think a person want to be like...
It's also easy to get a car, you know.
It's what I'm telling you also, because now you don't need also, Bank was also playing important roles there. That's why our mindset, the system is working.
Mm.
Because they know, the person who set up the system, he knows that it's working because with a car, you just have to deposit 10%.
Exactly.
Then you can get any kind of car you want. I don't know why our government is not moving with that direction, Kucha. Why, if you are able to allow a person to get any type of car you want with 10% deposit, but you cannot do it with a mortgage? Why?
Yeah.
They are all quiet. Nobody saying anything. Even the president is put up with that. Anything with the broken people.
Yeah.
Progress. Go then and do, but our finance minister is quiet.
Mm. But the other thing is also financially, I mean, economically, house is an asset, and once you buy a car, a car is a liability. So definitely that's
you know, the moment you lose your job, the moment you lose your job, they'll come and get that car.
Yeah.
Put it in an auction.
Once the car start moving, it depreciate already. So it starts to depreciate. So, but a house, you know, it's the value.
It's always gaining value.
You know, so that's also you, from those perspectives, you can also understand. Yeah. But definitely, they are too expensive.
Very expensive, my friend.
And you can think it that is that desperate. I mean, deliberately to keep to have actually control of the market. You know, because only the few that can afford now.
Can afford it.
You know, control the majority. You will continue renting, my dear.
I'm telling you that, and that's the problem which we are creating to our young people. Because that's why we say Namibia population is not really growing. Because now, who can bring a kid will they know that you are living in the flat, and the owner of the flat say no, knock it around.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm going to let the family there? You'll be there courting each other for 10 years without a kid, a baby. And the mic. Mike, the thing is that even the podcast, you can do a lot of things.
Exactly.
When you to create, I mean, with the housing.
Mm.
I'm telling you, podcast, you can play important role.
Mm.
But the problem is that our energy or whatever, they're not coming up with innovation.
Yeah, innovation idea. Of coming up with cheap materials that can be used to build houses. That are affordable. It's a time, really. And we go on and on and on, you know, year in, year out. It doesn't seem to be any, and we made promises, we're going to build how many, and you know.
We will do this, we'll do this, but we're just talking. Just, we are talking from 90 up to now, we're still talking. Anyway, Mike, have a good Friday, man.
Man, same to you, man. Have a great weekend.
Sure.
All right. All right. So, our time is about 59 past the hour of 9. And that brings us, you know, to the end of Unpacking the Day this morning. So, and thanks for joining me.
and for participating and for listening. And we implore you to continue listening to other programs that are coming up throughout the day today. So, all right. So, yeah, let me say my goodbyes and also leave you in the hands of Tate France coming up with Kuthamosha. So we're crossing to Windhoek, and please continue to listen to the programs that are coming your way throughout the day today. So have a great weekend. I'll see you tomorrow. So on Mind Matters from 11 to 1 o'clock. So make sure that you book your seat on that show. So good morning and have a great weekend.
Omudiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingongotisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Seisanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikelefem Media House, Way 20 Timemeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma.
If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download